Well, and
Go ahead,
let me
Carrie.
say.
What do you think about all of this?
It's so fun because we have three talk show hosts on this call, and then Rich Dolan, who is never short of words.
I have my own show every Saturday night. Just
there you go. So now we've got four talk show hosts on one, and I'm actually inviting Mel Fabregas. Just in case he wants to join us.
That'd be good if Mel did. He does some good work.
Yeah, I imagine he probably knew Gordon. I'm trying to get the word out as I'm doing the show at the same time. Let me just say that there was at Sir's email, at the bottom of the email, there was a message from a woman who apparently was trying to talk to Gordon and maybe to Sir as well, saying that it basically that he seemed to be getting better and that she was telling him to eat a vegetarian diet and all this kind of thing. I guess they also said I don't know, I guess if it's there, I'd have to pull it up back up, but I think it said he was basically feeling better, and he was bad mouthing and complaining about the conditions in the hospital. And I just think that's so Gordon. It's just, I have to say that I really believe this man had incredible dreams. He wanted to see them through. I think he would have fought to the last final straw. I have to feel that they pushed. They pushed him over the edge. I don't think he would have wanted to leave at this time. It's just my feeling. But, I have no proof, of course.
Well, let me go ahead and interject something here. You know, I remember I worked with the RAM team for a while. I've done papers on gravity control, and Gordon was an interesting man, a very cantankerous guy. But he had a varied history. He would deny things at one time and then admit them at another, and never had a loss for words, from what I understand, from what I've known of him. He always had an opinion on something or another, and he did not at all feel afraid of expressing that opinion at all to anyone.
Not just an opinion. He really had informed opinions. He was a very well-educated, well-read guy, and he constantly just surprised me with his wide range of knowledge about science and history and law. He was very good friends, of course, as he often said, with former Attorney General Ramsey Clark. Gordon was a guy who was really engaged in the world, and he just never stopped. He was he's one of these people that, I used to say I loved him and hated him, but it was just because he was a genuinely good human being, at least in my experience with him. But he would make me crazy because he was constantly demanding more and more out of me because he had this mission. He wanted things to be done, and he just kept going and going. And
along the lines of his brilliance, and he really was a brilliant man. I don't think people really knew that.
Have to agree.
He was extremely well read. In fact, I have to tell you that I heard, this is what of course Gordon told me, that he had the biggest and best UFO library, bar none. He was a collector. And I think a lot of people don't know this, and I don't even know where his library is. But this is something to be looked for, and so that it doesn't get lost and doesn't get taken away. I can just see the CIA pulling up in front of his house right now, loading his library and memorabilia into a van. because the guy, this is what he told me. He said, people don't know this about me. He said, but I've got the best and biggest library, bar none, in the world.
In fact, Terry, can I interject something here?
Sure.
He willed that library to the Roswell UFO Museum upon his death. And I was there when he actually talked to...
All right. Well, let's make sure they get it because, you know, this is going to be... There will be something in there, I can guarantee you, that's worth knowing about. He had a lot of secret documents. This is another thing. You know, his whole RAM, and Rich, you know, I guess you might have had some exposure to this. You know, it'd be great to bring people like Hal Pudoff on the line. I know these people probably won't talk about what they really know about Gordon or anything. But I have to tell you, he knew people in every walk of life, and he knew this, where the secrets were buried, I can guarantee you.
It would be interesting to find out where the library is, and I guess some people close to Gordon would know. Gordon was very secretive to me about exactly who he was hanging out with, who he was living with at the time. Sometimes I get a little clue or so, but... He, you know, we got to be careful who does get that library. Curry does have a point there.
If I were to guess,
and I believe he does have probably some secret material. Maybe Rich has an in on that. We might talk to him about that later. Rich publishes things.
I would just guess it would be in Louisiana, but I honestly, I don't know. I don't know where that library would be.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, I know he...
Gary knew him better than many people on that level, personal level, so maybe...
Well,
maybe
I know he...
get a clue.
He had... He lived in Palm Springs towards the end of his life, so I don't know if he was... You know, he had relocated. I mean, he, you know, Gordon was...
I could never nail him down about that, whether it was Desert Hot Springs or Palm Springs, but... Them are right by each other, you know.
But he was the sort of man who, he was very unusual in that regard, I have to say. He was not your usual elderly person, but he was by any stretch of anyone's imagination. He was, you know, he was basically a dynamo. The guy never stopped.
He was a truly larger than life guy. I mean,
yes.
A truly larger than life.
Yes. 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 And I did my interview with him in black and white, and people will not, they'll not, maybe not know that there was a huge controversy over that. And Gordon stuck by me, and finally the CIA wanted it back in color. And I said, no, black and white suits him. It's, you know, he was one of those larger than life, like one of those 1940s black and white, you know, like Humphrey Bogart. He was, I mean, that was really his type of thing. He was a gentleman to women, just really an excellent gentleman when it came to women. And you know, he was always propositioning any woman he saw, and that was just his style. But, you know, but he was also very charming. And he had gone out with some top Hollywood stars, I have to say. He'd love me to say this. He'd want me to say this. He, you know, he once wanted people to know what a womanizer he was, and he was proud of that fact. He was a great admirer of women, which warmed my heart.
Well, how many times, Curry, did he actually proposition you as well?
I don't know.
Something should be private.
No, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, it probably every time I talked.
Yeah, right.
It didn't really matter. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't the point. I wasn't going to take him up on it, but I have to say, you know, he wanted people to know what a sort of gentleman he was, that he'd been, he was very in love with some Hollywood star. I forget her name.
Before we get into the discussion that I'd like to get into regarding what Gordon Novell's legacy will be after his passing, I had a question in the chat room from Stu asking if you had any ideas, any of you, on what his views on Planet X or Nibiru is and on the UFO subject. And Richard, would you like to field that answer?
Yeah, as I recall, I will just state I'm not as sympathetic to that concept as a lot of other people are, but I think Gordon was. I didn't really go into that in a whole lot of detail with Gordon because I think he knew my position on it. But I think he was an admirer and reader of Sitchin's work, and I believe that he gave credit to it. But I don't want to go on the record for that because I don't want to misquote him, and I might be wrong about it. I will say, I just wanted to jump in with something else that I think is more germane about Gordon's work, which is the whole concept of the whole idea of the ARV, the Alien Reproduction Vehicle. And I missed the discussion that preceded when I got on here, but I really think that that is the number one piece of importance about Gordon Novell, is that he was completely committed to getting this type of technology out there. And he was convinced that at least in 1960 that Black World classified clandestine groups were reproducing flying saucers. There's a 1966 photograph of an object just outside Provo, Utah, for example. And I remember talking with Gordon about that image at length. I think he made a very strong case that this was, in fact, one of ours. And one thing he was very interested in doing was putting together kind of a lineage of certain images of flying saucers through the ages to sort of track this development. So that image from 1966 is very, very close, for example, to the image of the ARV as drawn by Mark McCandlish, as described by Brad Sorensen, and very similar, at least strikingly similar, to another image that Gordon was absolutely fixated on, rightly so, I would say, and that's the 1994 Nellis UFO video, of which leaked out to the TV show Hard Copy in 1995. And I'm sure many people listening may be familiar with this, or if not, you just Google it. But Gordon really saw a direct lineage from the 1966 Provo image to the Sorensen story of 1988, and then to the Nellis image of 1994. And then the other thing I just have to say about Gordon, this is on a personal note, I've never in my life met anyone who dropped more F-bombs per sentence than Gordon Novell. Number one, he gets the cake. I don't know, maybe with women he was different, but oh my God, when I was with this guy one-on-one, he was unreal. I thought my dad was tough, but Gordon's way beyond.
Yeah, Richard Gordon did have a colorful use of a colorful metaphor, did he not?
Absolutely. Really, I mean, he was very strong with language, but as Kerry was pointing out and everyone else is mentioning, he was an extremely intelligent man and, in fact, always had something relevant to say.
Do you mind if I could ask you, Richard, while I have you on, have you here? You've done books dealing with classified documentation from the national security apparatus about UFOs.
Right.
Since we're on the subject of the ARV, have you seen any documentation pertaining to the ARV situation in the classified documentation you've been able to review through the FBI?
No, the problem we have with that is that there's two types of documentation. There's officially released documents that you get from National Archives, for example, whether at College Park, Maryland, the U.S. National Archives, one of the presidential libraries, or the archives of some other nation. And those are officially released declassified documents. So that's that. Of those types of documents, no, there is absolutely none that I am aware of that relates to this. It has to be said also that the spigot on those documents really is nearly off. That is, of the thousands of pages of documents we have today on UFOs that are declassified, more than half of them, literally more than 50% of all that we have, were released during the administration of Jimmy Carter, if you can believe it. So that's great for the Jimmy Carter years, and really stinks for everyone after that, because FOIA just hasn't been as friendly ever since, and particularly from the mid-1980s onward. So the RV story, there is no official document that I know of that refers to it. Then you get into the realm of leaked documents and debated documents. For example, the Majestic documents on the website of Ryan and Bob Wood, for instance. But even there, I have never encountered a document dealing with the ARV, like explicitly that. I personally believe there is such a craft. I believe that we've been making these objects for quite some time, but there's nothing in the way of documents that I've found.
Well, and another thing is, I think the overriding legacy that Gordon Nobel will have and will be we'll be seeing this, you know, for time in memoriam from this point on, was his tenacious work in getting out there and trying to get the information to the right people to declassify these technologies so they can be used for practical work by, you know, the civilian apparatus. And that's why I have an issue, and I believe, Richard, that more than likely something may have happened even before he went into the hospital with, you know, when he had his toe amputated. He thought that these people, Richard, in the CIA were his friends, you know, and they were fair weather friends, to say the very least.
Well, yeah, we're talking about Ron Pandolfi in particular, who, I mean, honestly, if I hope Ron Pandolfi listened, Gordon had placed a great deal of hope. This is only back about four years ago, I'm thinking. That through Ron Pandolfi at CIA, that this project, the RAM Gravionics project, would be able to go forward. And if you can ever get Ron Pandolfi to be interviewed, that would be fabulous. But I had the distinct impression that basically I really wondered if Gordon was being played. I wondered this throughout the project. And by the way, if we could get Jim Mars on here today, because I talked a lot with Jim Mars during this whole project.
Rich, you weren't on the show, but I was talking about the relationship between Ron Pandolfi and Gordon. And yes, and no doubt about it, he was. I liken Gordon to Sisyphus, I believe it is, who rolls the boulder up the mountain only to have it sent right down again. Ron Pandolfi would be the one sending it back down again, but also encouraging him at the bottom to continue to roll the boulder. And I see him as a fair weather friend. I don't think so. I actually think there was probably a great deal of affection between the two men.
I think that's right.
Yeah, you know, and he talked to me a lot about Ron Pandolfi, and it was an up and down relationship for sure. Ron would do things, or the CIA would do things, and Gordon wouldn't understand them at all. And it seemed to me like they were just a double cross more than anything else. And when 2 days later, he'd be back thinking Ron Pandolfi was the most wonderful guy in the world. So they did have a personal relationship, evidently.
Well, I wonder if anyone here knows about Gordon's relationship toward the end to the Rothschilds, because this was really the last path that he was taking, at least that I was able to follow.
And yeah, I don't know anything about that. Tell us about it.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about it, to be honest with you, and I was hoping that someone else here did. But he, for the last year or more, because I did see Gordon. When did I see him? I saw him last, in fact, I believe at Awake and Aware in 2011, if I'm not mistaken. I think about a year ago, I think he popped in, and I chatted with him. And at that time, he was telling me that he was making inroads into one of the Rothschild family members and wanted to get financial backing for his project on that basis.
Tell people, you know, I know about the Rothschild thing. I'd heard about that, actually. And let's see if I can add him again.
I don't know. There's really not a whole lot that I do know about it, which was really why I was asking if anyone here knew. For a few years, I dealt with Gordon a lot. And I'll be perfectly honest with him. I love the man, but he made me crazy.
Okay, hello. We have Jason on the line. Jason, feel free to go ahead and chime in and ask any questions you would like to my esteemed panel of guests here.
All right. Well, yeah, I was just listening. I'm actually a host here on Revolution Radio. And I was filling in for a show, your show, Pamela and David's show. And you guys, if you want to take the server and go on talking about Gordon, that's fine with me. I mean, this is kind of a heavy thing. And if you can get Jim Mars on, that would be great. And,
that's so kind of you. That would be great. I think it just seems like the right thing to do to keep the show going for a while so people can call in and share their stories and whatnot. I would really appreciate that. I know I can tell you that Gordon would, you know, he's probably still here in spirit. You know, you can appreciate that. He didn't want to leave the earth, I have to say. You know, and I have to caution Gordon if he's listening that you know, he has to, you know, if he's gone out of body, he really has to leave. But I know that he really didn't want to die. I mean, he's just... He was too driven. He was a very driven man, and he had a mission. And his mission, as Rich just said, was the ARV program, was to bring free energy to the world. Whatever you think of Gordon, however annoying or aggravating he could be, and I agree he could be. You know, I mean, I used to have some yelling matches with him. I'll never forget one time I was driving across the desert after one of the conferences, and he called me. It was very late at night, and he was ranting on, as he would do, about MJ-12 and how they were doing this and how they were doing that and how wonderful his project was and how Ron was going to do this and Ron was going to do that and making it possible through the CIA. We've got an echo happening here.
I think it's me. I'm gonna. Let me put my headphones on here, Terry. Sorry.
Okay, no problem. And anyway, I'm trying to get. Actually, I'm trying to get Bill Ryan to come on the show here. It looks like he will come on. So if you are able to add Bill Ryan,
and Jason, okay. Let me thank you again for allowing us to extend the show. Longer, I do.
Oh, no problem. Hey, and it's great to hear an all cast show. I mean, gosh.
I think that people would like to hear, because Bill obviously did the infamous Camelot interview with me with Gordon, and we had, you know, many dealings in the early days with Gordon. Although I probably had more dealings with him, we certainly had our share of dealings and. I would love to talk to Bill live about the TV show, where people don't know we recorded the television show for True TV that has never been aired. It was a pilot for a show, and Gordon was in the show. He was one of the big stars of the show, in fact, and he made an offer, supposedly an offer that they shouldn't refuse. Whether they could refuse or not, I don't know, but they did, I think. Ultimately, and probably why the show isn't airing to this day is because the CIA, through Gordon, basically said, if you let us, you know, run the show, that you know, we'll make sure it's a success. And I relayed that message, and Gordon connected him with the producer, and I think he was polite, said thank you, but no thank you. The show has never hit the air.
Okay, first of all, Jason, I may have to let you go in order to bring on the secondary guest, but thank you again.
Hey, no problem. And if you need any, just roll right through when the hour comes up, and just go ahead and take it, and I'll hang up, and I'll be listening.
Okay, thank you, then. And
thank
we
you,
have.
Jason. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello, Jim. It's Paul Richard Price here with Kerry Cassidy, Richard Dolan, and Jerry Pippin. And we wanted to add you to the roundtable discussion.
All righty.
Hi, Jim.
Yeah, Jim,
hi,
how you doing?
Howdy.
This is Jerry Pippin here. I guess you know about Gordon Novell. He passed away at 3 a.m. yesterday.
Right. Yeah.
And so we're just kind of kicking things around.
Well, he hadn't been in the best of health lately, and he frankly didn't take very good care of himself, so it's terrible. And I'm sad. I'm saddened by that, of course, but at least for me, it didn't come as some sudden, shocking surprise.
And hello, everyone. We're going to be doing an extended Paul Richard Price show today with our guest in our roundtable discussion on the death of Gordon Novell with Kerry Cassidy, Richard Dolan, Bill Lyon, Jerry Pippin, and Jim Mars. And Jim, thank you again for joining us on this roundtable discussion today. And I want to get you on air talking about your thoughts about the situation
about Gordon
Novell, your knowledge of him, your just your recollections of him.
Well, Gordon and I, need to say, didn't always see eye to eye on a lot of things, and particularly the Jim Garrison prosecution in New Orleans that will play Shaw in connection with the Kennedy assassination. But what I'm going to always remember Gordon about was his more recent attempt to bring essentially free energy and also hyperspace drive to the public. And it was a huge mountain he was trying to climb to try to get funding for technology that, most people say does not exist. What he did was, and it's really extraordinary, is that he, when he had the time, he devoted himself to studying the scientific literature as well as the public literature about UFOs. And he felt like he had finally determined how they operate. And it comes down to a gravitic drive. Paul, you're pretty familiar with this, too. And I know there's a lot of questions about it, but I'll throw the question back to you. Don't you think that, in general, he was kind of on to something there?
Well, I've been writing papers on the subject for a while, and I've done over 21 years research.